special June 1st meeting of the Duluth City Charter Commission, rescheduled from our April 12th meeting at 5 p.m. We'll start with roll call.
Commissioner Anderson.
Here.
Commissioner Little. Commissioner Ness. Commissioner Yeager. Commissioner Gardner. Commissioner Stolle.
Present.
Commissioner Mangan.
Here.
Commissioner Green. Commissioner LaFontaine. Commissioner Swenson.
Here.
President Stauber.
Here. Do we have any excused absences?
Commissioner Same did contact me to let me know she would be absent. That was a misprint. No, she has resigned.
And then first order of business is approval of minutes from our January 11th meeting.
I'll second.
Seconded. Any discussion? None. Vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Passes. Under communications, we do also have the resignation of Vice President Matheson, which later in the meeting we will solicit nominations and we'll do an election for Vice President. Under unfinished business, first up is the discussion item Ordinance Modernization Task Force proposed technical changes. Do we want to... I know there's two sections to this. The first is the CAO, and the second is the actual technical changes without the CAO change. Did the study group wind up meeting and discussing any of this?
We did. I think you guys far past
that
CAO
decision. Okay. But we're still working. The working group had... proposed to meet again prior to this meeting, but we weren't able to facilitate such a meeting. So without speaking for the working group, I don't know that a determination has been made.
Okay.
I'd like to bring up one thing that I don't think is a technical change. And I brought this up at our last meeting in January, and I just want to bring it again. And that is in section 8. I just printed that page. I think it's on page 9 of the version that I had printed from home. Let me see. Page 9. I know I don't have a problem with the intent of wanting to make sure that title of ordinances is all that's read. There isn't a requirement to have to read the whole ordinance. But the way this is written, to me, it reads as only the title has to be even written. And I strongly object to. I think that the full ordinance needs to be written, and only the title needs to be read. So anyway. And maybe it's just a slight different wording, but to me that's an issue.
Well, I think it says the every ordinance and resolution title. Okay, so
resolution or ordinance needs to be in writing, and only the title needs to be read.
Every ordinance and resolution shall be in writing and the title shall be read. Yeah, I think that she's probably right. Yeah.
Just to clarify, yeah. So the proposal is to change the wording of section 8 to remove the first edition of title, but to retain the second?
Correct.
All Anyone object to it?
Do we want to handle the...
There were three documents that were emailed, and of the, one of them is not printed out for us, but the first one is the CAO, the Chief Administrative Officer, changed to, I believe, just City Administrator, and changing that title. If we want to tackle those separately, I think that's far more appropriate. I'd open it up for discussion on that particular printed document. It was changing the title of the Chief Administrative Officer in our charter to City Administrator. Green?
And also of treating that separately from the other technical changes so that that can just...
Any... Subgroup, and that is something we did discuss, and if I recall, we were in agreement to make that change as well. We want to do this sooner and just take care of that as we go through, because we're looking at other things, including just the mayor appoint that person, city council approval. There's some other layers within that, within the chart. So,
but as far as the technical change of just the title,
standalone item, and then it would just be changed throughout the entire document?
Yes, that is the proposal.
Okay. And I would note that I believe this body did make that change 4 years ago, 5 years ago, and it was ultimately shot down by the council, this being a very different city council than it was 4 or 5 years ago. As far as, is there any further discussion on that exact change? And I would support or honor a motion to move forward with just that change to the charter, changing the Chief Administrative Officer position technicality to City Administrator, and recommending that change to the City Council.
I'll make that motion.
Green? Seconded by Commissioner Ness. Any discussion on that?
I have is that the job description will remain exactly the same. It's just
that technical. Okay. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Any opposed? None. Motion carries. Second item is the technical changes only without the CAO in that document that we received. Work group, get through any of this.
Have to have another meeting, I think. Talking about appointments for vacancies. A lot of things happening with it.
I'll have to check my notes. One moment.
Were there any questions from the work group that you'd like to submit to the body as a whole for discussion?
Not at this time. I didn't have any.
Oh, Commissioner Green.
I wanted to point out there is, as you're mentioning the whether or not the city council approves that change on the hiring of the administrative officer, there it's addressed in one place, but in section 19, it's referenced there as well. The chief administrative officer who shall be appointed by the mayor subject to the approval by a majority vote by the city council for an indefinite term. So the for indefinite term in the substantive changes was, but the other has been left there. And so once that decision is made, it really needs to be reflected in two places. So there's section 7C and there's section 19, line 2. Both of those are going to need to be considered once a decision is made.
We could note that discrepancy there too when we were discussing that.
Commissioner Ness? Yes, quick question on the indefinite term piece. I suppose that's just, was it taken out as a technical item just because it is okay to just be left unsaid that the position is until the position is replaced that the person.
Lost it. Remind me what section that is.
Section 19.
I guess the question for the commission is, in most of our work from the working group was to kind of separate out kind of the technical changes, which we felt were like, well, this is just kind of updating language, and then the other pieces. So when I look through the technical changes document, I mean, as long as there's a level of comfort that the items that are left in this document are truly technical, then I don't have a problem with bringing this forward and kind of, you know, passing that forward so that we can focus our attention on the remaining more substantive So I guess my question on that line was, is that clause of, you know, for an indefinite term, is there justification for that being a technical change, or is there a more complicated policy idea for why this change is being brought forward?
If my memory serves well, and Ian, feel free to jump in if I have this wrong. I believe it's that it's a little bit redundant because it talks about how he can be terminated, right? So he's in until he's terminated, and also he or she, and also they are in via contract. And so the contract ends every 3 years or whatever. And so that is an opportunity to change things then. So I think, if I remember correctly, the idea is that it's not truly indefinite, or it hasn't been treated that way.
Because it also does say that it's appointed by the mayor, so if the mayor came in, we would assume that individual.
Also that, correct. Correct.
I do wonder if there's a bit of the question of, I mean, yes, chief administrative officer would have, or the city administrator would have, a contract that defines the, you know, salary increases and the like, but at the end of the term of the contract, you know, there's not that position is not at risk. It's kind of like a union contract that if a new contract isn't approved, well, then you're just operating under the terms of the previous contract. Right. I mean, I would hate to have a situation in which, you know, a chief administrator or a city administrator is coming to the end of their term. And again, I don't know what the structure of the current contracts with the city administrator looks like, if there is like a end of the term. So
Sorry, is that the contract or the end of the contract?
I think too that the clarification that it
could be renewed indefinitely.
I mean, it's not like they could
continue indefinitely. Potentially, if the mayor came back.
But does it need to be stated?
I think that there's probably enough question in terms of, you know, kind of the meaning behind that, that I would suggest that we move that into the other document, the substantive.
I'd agree with that. Is anyone opposed to that change right now?
Just that section and
the language removing for an indefinite term to the substantive changes document. Were there any other technical changes people saw in the review of these documents that they wanted to call to the attention of the board, the commission? I think we can just consent to doing that. Most of the changes I saw in the technical document were more inclusive, updating language that was clearly outdated, or clarifying things that were implied but just needed to be clarified. I would take a motion then to take the updated technical changes only without the CAO change doc as a proposal to send to the City Council for changes to the City Charter. Technical changes that this board has reviewed. Mr. Green.
A chance to fully look at the whole thing. Do they want to have more time?
The only change I think we're making right now is the.
We did.
Yes, we need one more time to go through the rest of it.
Okay.
I mean, I think that is true. We certainly didn't have time to kind of, you know, start diving into the more substantive changes. I mean, looking through these changes and even some of the kind of the spirit and what we had identified as, yep, truly technical changes and, you know, looking through the rest of it, I feel a level of comfort. And I think there could be some benefit as we are bringing forward the CAO language to also kind of bring forward the other technical, language updates and then kind of fully shift our attention to there. And I guess that would be the question. Is there anything else within the technical side that we have even the slightest bit of discomfort in saying, no, let's kick that part over. And in my read, I don't see any other items.
I agree. I think that big things with this CAO.
That's something the work group would feel comfortable with then, if we adopted this technical change document now.
Never, but I would.
Wanna.
I've here, but
like the direction that we gave to staff to carry out, and I think that's, you know, is to be, you know, to really kind of focus on just the language updates. And I think it was good for this group to, for our group to identify the CAO as something that has a little bit of deeper meaning. You know, again, I don't see anything else there. That said, if there's any discomfort by the commission and just like take a pause and do a deeper dive, I'm happy to do that too.
I know there was one pronoun in here that was like, that probably did get updated.
Yeah.
If that's in there anywhere else,
I know I had emailed it, you know, the myself.
I mean, I did see that in here too.
Okay, that's good. Okay. All right. I think, you know, I just kind of glanced through this and some of the things we discussed.
Council, noting the two things that we've already identified in Section 8 and Section 19.
Second for that motion. Any discussion on the motion? And I'll move forward to the vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Carries. Next up for discussion is the substantive changes document. I know the work group hasn't had a chance to dig into this yet. But did anybody in their review of the substantive changes document that was sent to us find anything that they want to share with the work group?
I had noted on section 24, too much of the sentence was struck. So that you have an incomplete sentence now. I've got that.
Section 24. Not
it says made by, and then there's somebody making the decision.
Right now it says the auditors shall be the accountant of the city and shall audit all obligations proposed to be incurred are within and pursued by. The whole rest of the sentence is deleted.
Oh.
Much.
That is in the technical changes document that has a bit
the substantive changes doc.
Commissioners, I presume that was a typographical error. I will consult with our notes to ensure that is the case, but my presumption is that ordinance was intended to be included with that sentence.
The document that I have, it does continue.
Sorry, I was that wrong. So that's another exception in the technical. Darn it.
One of the proposed substantive changes was section 4, page number 7. They'll appoint one of the councilors at large as acting mayor.
That's maybe where we left off our discussion. Yes, we were talking about that. So that.
there a reason why that's proposed as a change?
Well,
yeah, I think we did have some, we began to discuss the pros and cons in there, and I don't think we heard from the administration about exactly why, although I think there were some counselors that say, personally, I think that it's important that a person that is appointed to the role of mayor be elected citywide and not from a district. And, it's just in terms of an accountability and who. Now, it does limit the pool, right, of counselors who are in a position to set forward. But I think that was the spirit of the initial language, that it would be somebody elected citywide.
Discussions, we also, just as a, it does create a smaller pool of individuals available to do that. And then the mayor, not that pool, the mayor would be coming after one, would have built that smaller pool. And it's, but then on the hand, you know, we were just going to pass. So we were potentially expanding that. But if anybody has thoughts or ideas about that.
Anderson, it looks like you want to say something.
I have a partiality to at-large counselors, so I think that's a great idea.
How many times? Where an acting mayor has needed.
Commissioner Ness?
Never happened. It strikes me as this is less of a concern than if it's something that definitely happens periodically.
Yeah, I'm not aware of, when Ben Boo was appointed, the executive director of WLSSD and kind of stepped away from the office, that I believe that Mayor Bowden was appointed by the council. And then, I think it's.
Has happened.
There's certainly times where we've had an acting mayor who's been appointed under the 10-day limit.
Yeah, and I think that there was a this was a point that came up in the task force, that we might have a bit of a terminology issue, because there are oftentimes when the mayor is out of town that you'll have an acting mayor temporarily that will sign documents or stand in for the mayor, and I believe that this is referring to a different situation, and so I think we should come up with terminology that would kind of make it clear, here's one situation that's very temporary and then another which is somewhat more significant.
I would agree with language like that. From a personal standpoint, personal only here, I also am in favor of keeping the language sort of as is. I feel having someone who was elected citywide, and yes, it is a smaller pool, would be much more representative of the district or of the city itself, rather than just a district. It is, and I wish Commissioner Gardner was still here to speak to this. It is very different running in the district than it is running at large. Very diverse population is a very diverse geographic area. It's a lot harder. I feel those seats are often harder to earn.
Context. When we were discussing this, one of the reasons this came up is because in practice, even though that this is what the charter says right now, often the mayor will appoint the council president as the acting mayor, and that person is not always an at-large counselor. that there's some practicality in having the council president be the acting mayor. That was part of why this came up. And also it makes sense to have somebody who is an at-large councillor be the acting mayor. So that was part of the context of what brought this up.
Because we do have, yeah, we do have that distinction of acting mayor, you know, should the mayor become disabled or be absent for more than 10 days without having appointed an acting mayor. We don't have that language for what's a short-term acting mayor versus I'm stepping away from the position acting mayor.
I'm noticing in here that we didn't highlight the from councillors at large for when the mayor is appointing either as something to potentially be changed. So I think we meant to.
Commissioner.
And that might be the difference, that if we can come up with the term of the mayor is stepping away or is out of town for a few days, and then, yes, could appoint any one of the councillors to fill in the role of, you know, signing documents and you know, standing in at events. But what this is talking about of the council actually taking the step of appointing one of its own to actually, you know, step into that role and thereby also vacating their own, you know, seat on the council, that's a much bigger deal than, yeah.
Did anyone have any other input they wanted to share with the working group? Or fine-tune the language? Or opinions? And if not on that particular issue, then on anything else in the substantive document. That's a good question.
Could you speak?
Yeah.
So my question is, and I don't know if it applies, but when you talk about disability, you know, especially shall determine the council what the or the unless such a disability shall be determined by that council. What do they consider a disability? Right? Term, and not that thinking there's going to be a coup or something. But what do they consider a disability where the mayor can't fill their role?
Yeah, those are definitely broad questions that.
And I don't know if it's, yeah, I don't, yeah. And I don't know if that's part of, would be part of this or if it needs to be clarified what would be a disability that would warrant the council to make that decision. I mean, obviously, if the mayor got in an accident, was coma or something like that, clearly unable to execute the role of the office, that's one thing versus they broke their leg and they're hung up. You know, hospital for a few weeks. Communicate and make decisions, I guess. Like.
The term incapacitated, is that the...
Commissioners, I did want to note that, yes, in the technical changes, that language was changed to incapacitated.
Maybe that's a better description.
Yeah, and that is why we made it as a technical change, because leaving it as disability, essentially, you know, you broke your arm, you went blind, you can't be the mayor anymore, it seems.
Permit in your car, yes. So you're disabled. So. Not that someone's going to do that, but who knows?
Yeah. It's not really the word, it's not used today the same way it was used when this was written.
Might help us. We've already kind of approved to go.
Yeah.
Have them added or removed?
Have them add.
I'll create a new working copy that includes the technical changes and the substantive changes as well.
And I know this is a little tricky, but just for the simplicity of the working document that we'll be reviewing then of the substantive changes, if we could take the changes that we have are recommending to the council and just incorporate those so that it's not, you know, listed as a new change.
Yeah, as if they've already passed.
Yeah, that's what we're doing.
Correct. Yes.
Just yep. just for as a working document.
I know there's another big one right around the corner. Section 7, subsection C. All appointments to municipal office by the mayor except the mayor's choice of chief administrative officer now changed to chief administrator, and all appointments shall be submitted to the council for approval. I know you guys haven't reached that far in the document yet, but...
we discussed this. I think it says some...
Not consistent.
But we decided they have to be consistent one way or the other, yeah. 7 and 19.
Okay.
That's what we just discussed earlier. So we'll kind of work through that, but in one area it says that the mayor appoints and then the other one.
Okay.
You got it.
Anyone else find anything in the substantive document that they wanted to share with the working group as far as opinions go? And I don't think we need a formal motion to table this, but we can just let it be as is while the working group works on it.
Mr. Anderson? Section 18, the addition, the counselor violating the provision of this current, what happens to a counselor if they are found guilty of that provision right now?
It is my understanding that none have ever been found guilty. That right now, if a counselor violates those sections, they get a very stern talking to and are asked to not do that anymore because potential misdemeanor. I think the language of it being a misdemeanor should be changed because I don't know that there's a good way to actually prosecute that right now. And I think you might have something to say about that, but I think there's a number of places in here where we talk about misdemeanors that I think it makes sense that because the courts don't really work that way.
Megan?
Certainly some of these places where it is mentioned that there's criminal activity, it would still be under the purview of the county attorney because there's state laws that kind of align with this. So it's not like, you know, they cannot be found guilty in some other way or be prosecuted. Still available out there. I did have a thought, you know, I think maybe there was a suggestion at some point of a fine. I'd be interested if the working group would look at other cities to see if there are fines that they impose in these places rather than a misdemeanor.
That's looked like he had something.
Well, I know this was an issue that we just discussed, and I think if I recall, the previous language had the city bringing charges, or there was something along the lines of like, in that we want to get away from, you know, it's saying that it is a misdemeanor and therefore being charged, but to say, so I think we're kind of getting a little too far into the weeds here, and so this will be a good thing for them.
Any other items in the substantive document?
I would just say one thing. If somebody thinks of something, I think I'm going to email Chuck Johnson.
Have plans to meet this month or before our July scheduled meeting.
I will reach out to the study group members tomorrow to inquire about their availability to schedule something within the next month.
You know, one of the things that we had discussed, especially for the substantive changes, you know, I don't think that it's appropriate for us to kind of take these on as one document of many different issues. And so I think one of the tasks that we had talked about in the working group was to essentially bunch this into individual, you know, items for consideration. And so maybe that could be, I think we could probably accomplish that at our next meeting of just saying, yep, there are four or five different kind of themes of changes, and we can kind of separate those out and bring it to back to the commission for your review of the categories that we place this in, and then allow for the group to kind of take a, you know, a further deeper dive into each of the policy areas.
I would agree with that too. I know there's not a huge rush. We don't want to rush through it either. We want to be thoughtful of it. It's not something that we change.
I want to point out, I'm going to be out of town after miss a July meeting, if we do have a meeting in July.
We could easily, if there is not time to meet prior to our July meeting, I mean, we can obviously postpone our July meeting as well. Well, moving on then, we have a discussion item on elections cycle adjustment, I believe was proposed by Commissioner Stolle.
Yes. Johnson, do you want to recap this?
Sure. So there was just a request to look into the idea of realigning city municipal elections with state and county elections on an even year election cycle. It was a topic that former Clerk Helmer had done a fair amount of legwork on and had come before this commission a number of years ago. And this essentially is a proposal to reopen that discussion.
Green?
Advocate doing that again.
I know when I talked to Clerk Johnson about this, one of the things, there is an expense on the city to do this extra election. I know it can be kind of challenging prior time staffing, you know, people to work all these elections. It's challenging for the city and it's possible for the city. There's also some benefits because the a state elections, so there's some great opportunities there as well. And then we do have better turnout in city on these kind of interstate elections, so there might be some, you know, benefits there as well. But really looking at the expense and the time and resources.
And a good portion of why we had recommended, the study group before had recommended not to move forward with that, is not right now, plenty of attention, media attention can come. The city and the school board don't get lost in the midst of all of the state and national politics. And that also is a much more partisan environment. And so there are some real advantages.
Anderson.
President, I would also point out that in the past, we have had conversations with the school district, who asked school boards, has, at least some members have advocated for this change, because there's also a cost. Top of city's cost. So I would, I have long been a fan of this. Same way, but I think in a year, more people participating in voting processes, that it's attention in those years. We already see our local legislators who are elected, county board members who are elected. I'm an advocate for that move. Unlike some people in this room.
Mr. Green.
One other potential disadvantage to move elections where everybody is voting and they're not necessarily paying attention to the as levy questions on the ballot, and so does the school. That is something that is.
And you think that is because there's more information out about the larger candidates in our communities?
Or tension? I don't want to spend more money. Automatically vote no.
Maybe people to camp, but in the big scheme, are people voting for education? Maybe that. I'm just again my. Every year you're running an election. I do understand it's a lot of work. You know, making changes here. A lot of work that has to be done. I know they do that, but this would help relieve some of the pressure. But we just had a levy for the parks that failed.
Those of us who are opposed to this move understand the benefits, the cost saving, the inconvenience. We also think that having a few people who know what they're talking about vote is perhaps a richer experience than to have loads of people voting who actually came out to vote for such and such governor and who are not necessarily informed or interested in the thing they're voting. So having more people vote who don't necessarily know what's going on in this particular topic isn't automatically an advantage. Second thing is, if you want to get something on the ballot to be discussed, you have to you have to get a petition of 10% of the voters. And 10% of the voters in an even year is a heck of a lot of people. It makes it very difficult to get your issue on the ballot. 10% in an odd year is like 470 people or something. So if you have an issue that 470 people care about, you could get it on the ballot in an odd year. But in the even year, you can't amidst all that noise. So granted all those advantages, but there are also serious disadvantages or counterpoints.
Something you wanted to share?
Well, I do oppose the change as we've discussed in the past, and made the points that have already been made. I think about the conversation and the attention being given right now to the mayoral race, the city council race, and the school board race. And, you know, I know those candidates, and I have the bandwidth kind of in my civic life to pay attention to those races. And during a presidential year, with all the noise and all the hoopla and all the attention given there, or even a governor's year, and, you know, that very lengthy ballot, and, you know, city races and school district races would be much further down the ballot. So is there expense? Is there effort? Yes. In terms of our role as charter commissioners, I think our loyalty is to, you know, what is best for the governance of this city. And I think the ability even to attract, you know, the best slate of potential candidates for these roles. I mean, there are often times when there is a candidate who wants to run for state legislature and may not win in that race, and then the next year runs for city council. And, you know, if you have it on one race, you may limit their ability to try, you know, multiple races. So it's an interesting and good discussion, and certainly worthy of kind of continued conversation. I think, you know, as a commission, you know, I think it is such a big and oftentimes kind of leads into kind of political questions, and that's certainly not our role, right? And so, you know, as we go forward, I think it's really important that we think about our role as commissioners and you know, how that might be different than, you know, our other kind of political hats that we may wear.
I do not believe the election cycle is addressed in the charter.
It is not specifically elaborated upon. The proposed revision as part of the last discussion cycle, my understanding was, would have added language which would have specified how elections are to be conducted.
And if I remember right, just for the newer members of the commission, the school board is tied to the city elections per state law. Not something they can do individually. The county elections were on the odd years with the city and school board elections, and they moved 10, 15 years ago, something like that.
Much longer, yeah, I think. Yeah.
And we did at the time have Commissioners Jewell and Beth Olson, yeah. And they'd come in and voiced how that process worked.
I do believe that Councillor Gary Anderson also brought to us that, you know, I don't really know. I did talk to Councillor Randall about it, and she said that to go through the process, you know, just to do things like that. I thought it would just be a discussion with us at the level of the community and changing the charter. That's something that we recommend. I don't know if the city council or the post office could also say this is just a great idea, right?
If I remember right, there were a lot of, I was on the study group and the charter commission at the time. There were a lot of technical questions that came about, including the length of the potential ballot, ranked choice voting, if we ever move to that as a city versus the straight up voting that we have now at the state level, and how those ballots might differ. And from my perspective, I also had a conversation with a member of the state campaign finance board, and how in an even year, those political contribution refund, that program that the state gives to the statewide candidates, those funds could actually affect the city races. People could wind up spending money that's intended for the governor's race to affect a local race, and that would affect the campaign finance of candidates as well, potentially. Mr. Green.
One of another
about how it might be, there might be people who are more reluctant to run in the midst of all of the candidates. It would also be harder for local candidates to find something that, you know, there's a certain, there's only a certain number of people who kind of are interested in doing that. In years, they might be talking to those state-level candidates, and then they would not be available to provide assistance to city just another one.
Just a process point. You know, there's three different ways that business can, or ideas or proposals can come to this commission. It can be originated from commissioners themselves, and we can kind of, you know, look at an issue and decide whether or not to forward that to the city council. And that's kind of the process that the last time that we looked at this, you know, we followed. The second is that the city council can pass a resolution kind of referring an item to this commission, and then we would review and then send back our recommendations or take an action. Or the third way is that it can be initiated by the voters and bring forward in that way. So I would suggest, and especially just given, you know, our discussion here, that, you know, perhaps if this were to come forward again, that the best starting point would maybe a resolution of the council saying, yep, we think that this is worthy of further attention, and send it to us rather than us kind of once again initiating, especially given, you know, a difference of opinion within the commission.
4 years ago, I had noted, it was 4 years ago, I remember this now, that we did have the mayoral election and the city council election in the fall. And we had asked those candidates if this was an issue for them, to bring it up in debates to let the voters kind of weigh in on that. I'm aware of at least one councillor who has addressed the question, or council candidate who has addressed the question, but I've not seen that from anyone else yet. And I would highly suggest that, as citizens of the city, we ask those candidates to weigh in if this is something that they want.
Do we have the documents on that, or what you guys did in the past? I'd be interested to read that. Yes, I do.
I'll
have,
go back and look.
I can share the files that Clerk Helmer assembled and send them out. Yeah,
if you would, I'd be interested in reading that. Just
because I do know she was looking at that option for the city.
The school board for many years has tried to. They've passed resolutions trying to move. Well,
okay, so
that always depends on the makeup of the school board, but yeah. All right, and then moving on to new business. Vice President at this moment. Matheson has resigned. So I would entertain motions for a nomination and a potential election of the vice president. Usually pretty good about getting Wednesdays off, so you guys are kind of covered in that regard. Anyone have any interest? Second.
That was too quick.
Anyone else want to put forward a name? Okay. We'll have a brief election here. All those in favor of Commissioner Stolle as vice president signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carries. As long as there's no other new business, I'd entertain a motion for adjournment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. You're adjourned at 6.
Something about our election cycle now.
Great.
Marco? They just show up to vote whenever the elections were, right?
Well.
Thank you.